Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
I'd like to say this before I read the scriptures for today. This week I had a horrible week. Nothing was right. I was so distraught, so depressed, down in the dumps. I was sitting in my recliner on Friday night, and they hadn't called me with the scriptures. So I'm like, okay, call Dr. Barker. I called him up. He gave me the scriptures. He gave me 1 Corinthians 7 through 11. When I finished reading that scripture about the Spirit and what the Spirit does for people, I was ready. I thought about Mike, what he said last week. McNeil, why they split the chairs. I could have done somersaults in my house after I read those scriptures. I really could have. And I've been uplifted ever since that. So that's what the Spirit really does for me. Okay, now, I will be reading 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his words.
Amen.
Good morning, family.
Good morning.
Oh, wow, this mic is on. Come on, Don, let's get on keyboard. Let's go. He didn't know this, but I just want to sing this song. You're talking about spiritual gifts, and we're talking about discipleship. And I know you all know this. I don't know what key. I'm just going to sing. But when you think about it, somebody prayed for me. Had me on his mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad he prayed. I'm so glad he prayed. I'm so glad he prayed for me. Tell my preacher prayed for me. Had me on his about ties into discipleship, the spiritual gifts, how it ties into discipleship. As my mother mentioned a little while ago during intercessory prayer, on Friday, I was blessed to be able to go to the funeral of Cleophas Sturdivant up in Michigan. And I will tell you, during that time, and some, as she said, some of you may know him, some of you may not know him. Some of you may have heard of the school that he and his family built in Ghana. And right now they're still fundraising because they have the school and they need to get a bus together to get the children wherever they need to go. So they're taking donations for that. But even if you didn't know that about Mr. Sturdivant or whatever, one thing we did come away with that he was a godly man. Very godly man. But this sermon is not about Mr. Sturdivant. Yes, I talked about him. Mommy talked about him. But this is about you. You being a people of God. You being those godly people, that royal priesthood that is talked about. So when I was at the funeral, I was reminded about two things. And you sit there, you know it. But sometimes you need to hear it again, right? So this is what I heard. And it's in the Proverbs, it's in the Psalms. And the Word of God says that the steps of man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a man, and he was talking about how Mr. Sturdivant's steps were ordered. He was a godly man. Our steps are ordered by the Lord. And then specifically in Psalms 37, 23, it says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the ones who delight in him. So that was the second thing. I mean, that was still part of the first thing. The second thing that I was reminded of is whenever a man is devoted to God, God is devoted to you. And you're like, wow. You know, you see the commercial and they go, poof. But it's something that we know, right? But sometimes we need to hear it again. So like in Romans 37 through 39, we're starting in verse 35. It says, oh, they did give me this, right? I forgot to turn it on. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine, or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are conquerors. Say it with me. We are conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers. Listen to what he's saying. Neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, the reason why you may be trying, well, how is he taking all this and we're going to move it into spiritual gifts and all this stuff? God delights in you. His word says he makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. And do you delight in him? Amen. So that means he delights in you. And all these things that are mentioned here in Romans, it pertains to you. Nothing. Absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. So I can walk up and down the aisle and say, oh yeah, Marcus, he delights in you, and he's happy you just got married. He delights in Tracy and Karen, Vanessa and Andy. I can just go up and down and call names. He delights in you. Take that to heart. There's nothing that can separate you from his love. Nothing. And he tells us in different places throughout the Bible of different things that he will help us with. Like in Psalms 121, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from where comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He said, look to the hills. I will help you. And he goes on. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he watches over Israel, will never slumber or sleep. He is aware of who you are. He is aware of where you are. He is aware of what you've done. And you know what? He still loves you. He's still in love with you. And if you want me to just break it down, simply in Hebrews it says, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Say that with me. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do? Nothing. Nothing. But God knew, and Jesus knew as he was leaving, that we would have trouble. If he had trouble, we would have trouble. If they tried to block him, you know they're going to try and block you. If they tried to stop him, you know there's going to be barricades and blockades and all kinds of stuff trying to stop you. And what is it that they're trying to stop you from? See, you were given a mission. You've been given a goal. You've been given a task. You've been given a purpose that he ordained for you. So because of his love for us, he sent help. So Jesus, from the beginning, knew what we were going to need. That's why before he died, and he's there knowing that he's about to die, but he takes the time to talk to his disciples. When you go through John, that was a whole lot of talking he did, right? Chapter after chapter of the stuff that he had to say. And he didn't get to say everything, so he tells them that the Holy Spirit, who he will send, will tell them what they need to know. They will continue their learning in truth through the Holy Spirit. So he tells them in John 14, as he is getting them ready, trying to encourage them and instruct them, if you love me, keep my commandments. But this is what we need to remember. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will, at this time, be in you. So all of this I have spoken while still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I said to you. So, this is the important part. John 15, 26. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. But look what's bolded and underlined. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So we started out, we're talking about someone prayed for me, yes? And that the love of God, there is no way of separating us from the love of God. No matter what we've done or where we've been, he already knows. He knows what you did last night. He knows what you're thinking right now. He already knows. We cannot hide. So his love is there. And then we have the Holy Spirit. Because of that love, we get the Holy Spirit coming to be in us forever. And then with the Holy Spirit, there's the next thing. The next thing is the gift. So not only do we have love and we have the Holy Spirit comes bearing gifts. How good is that? I mean, when you think about it, it's like, wow, the Holy Spirit is powerful. It's God. It's in me. And yet, there's more. It's like you open this little thing and then, oh, there's more inside. You know, someone gives you a gift and then there's something else inside and you, wow, I didn't know it was that in there. And then you pull that out and then there's something else. It's a gift that keeps on giving. So in John 16:7 is written, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So he's telling the disciples this. And then he dies. And then he's able to send the helper. So then in Acts, he says to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But, people of God who are sitting here in Shepherd's Church, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and Chicago and in Harvey, and in Flossmoor, in Naperville, in Maywood, in Gary, in Sherville, Richland Park, wherever you are, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. So Paul continues this train of thought because he wants us to gasp. He wants us to grasp what it is that we have been given. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit, but there's more. So he writes, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So what he's saying, you have something. You need to use it. You need to be worthy of this calling. You need to be worthy of what God has planted in you, these gifts. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. That means people of God who are here seated, who are here looking through their Bible, who are here hearing my voice. God has called you. God has you here for a purpose and a reason. Yes, he loves you more than you could ever know. And that's why he sent the Holy Spirit for you. Because he knew you were going to need that help as you go out to testify. He knew you're going to need that help when we're all working together and this one starts getting on the nerves of this one over here and there's friction and we all get, yeah, you know the Holy Spirit shows up and he makes it all work out. We're people, we have, you know, we still have issues and things that we are dealing with, but the Holy Spirit smooths that out. See, when you have the people that have the gifts of helps, the people with the gifts of hospitality, the people with the gift of preaching and teaching, yeah, the people with the gifts of music, the people with prophecy, the people with healing. We got all this stuff that when it works together, baby, we can do a lot of stuff. But we have to be the stewards, as Paul is saying. We were called, and we have to be responsible to that calling. Amen. Okay, so now I'm going to pass this on to Jen, and she's going to continue.
First, I want to thank Lisa for helping us to understand how these spiritual gifts have been given and how they work. I hadn't really ever heard of spiritual gifts in terms of anything that we have. I always thought of them in terms of things that happened in the Bible, like when Samson had extraordinary strength to do God's work, or the apostles being given the gift to heal, or Daniel's amazing faith that saved him from the lions. I never really thought about those things being anything that we had. But we all have spiritual gifts, as Lisa mentioned. We might not be strong like Samson, or be able to heal like the disciples. And I really wouldn't recommend going to the zoo and trying out that lions thing, no matter how strong you think your faith is. But because we're children of God, created in his image, we have the Spirit with us, and we have spiritual gifts. So I took a spiritual gifts inventory, and we're going to be taking that together later on. And I was really excited to find out what my spiritual gifts were. Excuse me. I looked at my results, and I started wondering if maybe I got ripped off. Let's take a look at what my results were, and I think maybe you'll understand why I might have felt that way. So the first spiritual gift that I was told that I had was administration, guiding and directing a group of people toward a goal or a destination, organizing, directing, and implementing plans to lead others, closely related to leadership. Well, I've been supervising people for years at work, and I used to work in my community organizing community events and leading groups and project teams. I did a lot of that at work. I became a project manager and things like that. So it didn't seem like a spiritual gift. It just seemed like something that I knew how to do. Pastor and shepherd was next, which kind of scared me. Care for the spiritual well-being of people, servants. Mixture of abilities to serve the needs of others, teaching the word of God. Closely related to leadership and teaching. Well, that part made a little bit more sense to me. See, I come from a long line of teachers, all the way back to my grandmother who taught in a one-room schoolhouse down in the middle of Illinois somewhere. I heard all about it growing up. My mom was a teacher. My dad was a teacher. My husband is a teacher. I work in education, and even my daughter works in education now, too. It's funny, as I was writing all of this, I thought about the times when I was a kid. Most kids played house. I played school. I also played office, and I was the boss. And when I was the teacher, all of my stuffed animals got to sit and be my students, or they were my employees, and they had to listen to me. I'm sure it was really cute. My parents were probably very proud. Giving. Hospitable and seek out ways and opportunities to help others. Grateful when someone shares a need with them. Joyful when they can meet that need. Well, that sounded like me too. I love when somebody shares their needs with me and that I'm able to fulfill that. And what I really love is when I can anticipate somebody's needs before they even know they have it. I love being able to surprise people with things they didn't know they needed. But these really are spiritual gifts, even if I'd been doing them all along. And even if I'd been doing them at work and in my regular life, I'd been using these gifts to help God's people in different ways, through work in the community, through loving one another, people that I meet everywhere, the store, the shopping mall, and all those things. And now, I also feel like I'm being called to use those gifts in the service of God, to further the kingdom of God, and to show his love for his people. I mean, I've been asked to give messages here, right? And we have other examples of this in our congregation. Mike Hill, Rick Murray, and Harold Lane were the three main characters. I remember who's in charge, don't worry. What I said was I've been working on that line all week. They were the three main people who helped in the renovation of this building a few years ago. The work they did here was a spiritual gift. Maybe it was a gift of administration or leadership, certainly was giving and serving. I'm not sure about the wisdom and knowledge part. I'm so glad Mike's here this week. But you get my point. We have people like Damon, Vania, Vanessa, Mr. Dumas, lots and lots of other people who are talented performers and singers and musicians. That's a spiritual gift, because when they get up here and they do a solo that makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up, or gives you goosebumps, or makes you cry, that's a spiritual gift. I'm getting to hear the word of God presented in a different way that I've never heard it before. Something that moves me emotionally. That's a spiritual gift. That's serving. That's pastoring. That's shepherding. And last but not least, Pastor Ken, our example. Pastor Ken's been teaching for over 30 years. He's worked with kids, teens, and adults in classrooms and through his work as a counselor. And now he's here as our pastor. He's teaching kids, teens, and adults about God's word. That's a spiritual gift. It's not hard to figure out which ones those are. You know, those gifts, there's so many of them, and some of them just seem so special to me. I mean, I would love to be able to sing like Vanessa. But I promise I'm not going to deliver a message through song today. I already told Harold as Lisa was singing, I will not be singing, and he thanked me for that. You all thank me for that too, and you don't even know it. But I want to thank Bertha for reading the word, because 1 Corinthians 12 helped me understand why I don't have all the gifts, or maybe the ones that I really think I want. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And I'm not going to read the whole thing over again. Thank you. I'm not going to read the whole scripture over again, but the part where he talks about he distributes them to each one just as he determines. That's the important part of that scripture, right? I don't get to decide which gift I get. Even if I want one really badly, the Spirit decides which gifts I get. And he decides which gifts you get as well. Paul goes on in verses 12 and beyond to say, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Even if the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And I think if Paul were here with us today, he would say, we are the body of Christ, and each one of us is part of it. Here's another way to think about it, if you can't grasp the body example. Could I build a house all by myself? I'd like to think that I could, those of you who know me, but I probably couldn't. There aren't enough YouTube videos in the world to teach me all of these skills. I would want people who were specialized in all of these different things to help build a house. A carpenter, a drywaller, I don't know if that's what they're really called, but that's what I call them. A roofer, a plumber, a painter, someone who knows how to install carpet, and probably lots of others that I can't even think about. And that's just a house. Imagine all the different gifts it takes to build God's kingdom. 2 Timothy 1, verses 6-7 says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying out of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make you timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." And when I hear this verse, that fanning into flame the gift of God part really makes me think of the parable of the bags of gold. I know you guys have heard it before. I'm just going to briefly remind us. The master was going on a journey, so he gave his wealth to his servants to look after while he was gone. One got 5 bags of gold, one got 2 bags, and one got 1 bag. The men with the 5 bags and the 2 bags put their money to work. The man with the 1 bag dug a hole in the ground and hid the money. When the master returned from the journey, he asked the servants to settle accounts with him. The one bad man who had 5 bags gave back 10, and the one man who had 2 gave back 4. The master was very pleased. "Well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." But the servant who had not invested was called wicked and lazy. The master was unhappy and took away even the 1 bag of gold and gave it to one of the other men. "For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." The man had a gift, but he misused it, and he was not responsible with what he was given. So if we're given spiritual gifts, can they be misused? An easy example for me to see in my line of work is someone who's been given the gift of teaching. I've seen hundreds of teachers in my career. Some of them are good, and some of them are great. The great ones really know how to get the students motivated and thinking, and they can really take that knowledge that they have and impart that to students in ways that just inspire. I see lots of people shaking their heads. You've had those teachers, haven't you? The really good ones. Sometimes you don't even know how good they are until you're out of that class, maybe in the work world or in grad school, and you think back about those teachers who were so hard on you, and you just kind of hated going to that class, but now you really understand why they were so hard on you. Those people are really good, and sometimes they get awards and accolades, and that's good because we need to be encouraged when we do good work. But sometimes egos get in the way, and those people start thinking that they have the power. It's not given from above. They think that it's all coming from them. Pretty soon, those professors start deciding who they think deserves to learn and who they think don't deserve to learn. They work extra hard with those students who are good, and they forget about those students who maybe need more help. And that's not why they got into the profession in the first place. They wanted everybody to learn. Pride. It can really screw things up, can't it? Yeah. And I think a lot of times pride is what corrupts all the spiritual gifts that we have. We forget where that gift really comes from. We've seen other abuses of power and knowledge. The newspaper headlines are full of examples of business executives who were given great gifts of leadership, but they became corrupt and started using that power for their own good. And there are some pretty horrible examples in our history books of leaders who had countries at their disposal but became corrupt, and we won't even get into how bad those really are. But just like the 2 men with the bags of gold, God wants us to invest our gifts, to use what he has entrusted to us, to do good things with them for his purposes. Our gifts have to be nurtured and cared for. I believe over time that I could receive additional gifts from the Spirit to use as God sees fit. I may receive a gift for a single specific purpose for a short amount of time, and then it might be gone. And I'm still learning lots of stuff, and as I acquire new knowledge, if the Spirit wants me to have a spiritual gift that goes with that, I'm sure I'll get that. One last thought. I want to go back to that first slide that I had up with those beautiful gifts. Have you ever opened a beautifully wrapped present only to find something that's not so exciting inside? Like socks? or underwear or something kind of boring. I know I have. My mom used to like to fool us with different stuff. But she also fooled us the other way. She'd have presents that didn't look so good, like maybe this brown plain paper with brown twine present. There could be something really exciting in there. Gold, silver, diamonds, Super Bowl tickets. If it is, we better get on the plane and go now. You really can't tell what's inside by looking at the outside, can you? Amen. And I know you guys know where I'm going with that one. You can't tell what a person's gift is just by looking at them. Amen. You have to get to know them. We have to get to know ourselves and unwrap that present and see what that gift is. And sometimes you unwrap a present and you say, I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do with this. It looks interesting, but I don't know. Maybe this isn't for me. Oh, you're going to tell me what this gift is and how I'm supposed to use it. I'll hang on to it and I'll listen to what you say. I hope you guys are excited to find out what your spiritual gifts are, because I know Pastor Ken is, and I know Lisa is, and I am too. I'm excited to find out what your spiritual gifts are. Thank you.
Oh, so look, box. Now, as Jen was saying, you never know what could be in your box, right? So this is a little jewel box, right? And this is a bigger box. And then you have this nice little bag. Okay. And all of these have different things in them. I can tell you what you probably think's in them is not. But as we go for it, we prepare for this particular time, let me just mention a few things. The Holy Spirit is the owner and dispenser of the spiritual gifts, okay? We can find that in 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. And as believers, we are stewards of the gifts of God. Every believer, can expect the Holy Spirit to minister through him or her with spiritual gifts. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And we also find that in 1 Corinthians as well. So the gifts of the Spirit are simply God enabling believers to do what he has called us to do. And I can tell you, I was watching Sam give the opening prayer this morning. And I went to Sam, was it last year when I was putting together the schedule? And I said, Sam, I want you to consider doing the opening prayer. And he looked at me. I don't know. I have to think about that, Miss Lisa. You know, we had a conversation about it, and he said he would go home and think about it. And I watched him step up here. And he did a great job. Amen. A great job. That's just another example of the Holy Spirit at work. Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has given us everything. Say everything. Everything. We need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are part of everything we need to fulfill his purposes in our lives. So as we get ready, the ushers, actually what we have, and some of you, I have your emails. If I don't have your email, please get it to me, because once a month I send out an email blast. And those of you who received it know that I mentioned, you could bring your laptops today and we can do the spiritual gifts, but that we were going to do spiritual gift surveys today. And we have them here. And we're ready to go. So the ushers have them. They're going to start passing them out along with the answer sheet. And the only thing we need you to do is take your time. If you need help completing it, you're not going to do it this minute. But at the end of services, as we're over in the fellowship hall or whatever we're doing, we can fill it out. We have one for the youth and we have one for adults. And Kenneth is waving at me. Oh, you're saying you can't hear me?
No, this is the American Sign Language, so they can do it at home also.
Oh, you're saying they can do it at home? You can do it at home also. You can also do it online if you see me. And I can tell you where to go so you can do it online as well. But the bottom line, when you finish, write your name on the answer sheet, or if you're doing it online, it'll come to the church. And just get that copy back to me. But as we look at this, I just want to remind you of a few things as we go through this. Jesus said, hey, I'm sending a comforter. I'm sending an advisor, I'm sending a teacher, I'm sending an advocate to help you give glory to God, build the body, and show the world that you are my disciples. So the gifts of the Spirit were given for the perfecting of the saints, which are you, right? It's given for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So he reminds us, can you put that up, Douglas? There's a slide that has bullet points. Reminds us of our dependence. That's it. Reminds us of our dependence on one another. Our spiritual gifts help us to edify and build up the body. For example, how many people love working with numbers? Okay, I see one, two, I see a few. See, that's why you have the rest of us. So the people who love working with numbers, they can fill in for that part over here, and then we can fill in over here, the creative parts, or the cooking, or baking, or building, and all the other different things, the ministry, the mercy, all those things. Our spiritual gifts help us reveal God to unbelievers, because the word says they will know us by our love. And there will be times when we are unlovable, right? But as the world looks on, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to love. We are able to love one another. And then lastly, our spiritual gifts are to glorify God. And whatever we do, they are to glorify God. So let me leave you with these two scriptures. And remember to be a good steward and responsible. Pray when you take before you take your survey, and heed the warning that was in the bulletin. How many people read the warning in the bulletin? Okay, I see one hand just kind of go. Okay, I see two. Kenneth, you're right. You don't read the bulletin. In the bulletin, it says there is a warning. Be true to the survey. Answer truthfully. Don't try and answer it and make it, I really want to be full of mercy. So I'm going to answer all these questions like this so it comes out that I'm merciful. Or I'm faithful. Or I'm a healer, whatever it is. Be true to the test, the survey, because it's about you and it's for you. And as it says, Christ apportioned the gifts to you and his measure to you. So just beware. Enough said about that.
So in conclusion, and then we will go on. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. I just want you to remember this. I want you to have this in here, that when you leave here, not only are you excited about the survey and learning about your gifting, but you're excited about the love that God had for you, that he gave you these gifts in the first place, that he gave you the Holy Spirit so that you could do these different things. But he says, Paul says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, in the love of the Father, that you established in love may have power together with all the saints, not just the ones here, but the ones within the body of Christ, no matter where they are, around the world, globally, we are a body, that we may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then in John, he writes, 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you, you know the rest? Is greater than the one who is in the world. The one in you is greater than the one that's in the world. Say this with me. The one in me is greater than the one who's in the world. Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Amen.